Good morning, church. It's so lovely to see you. Turn to the person next to you, say, you look beautiful today. Looking beautiful today. Our Zambia mission team is back and I'm representing. Yes, so if you see all the dresses and the t-shirts, we had a wonderful time. So can I please invite everyone to stand? We're going to go into a time of worship. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you have the name above all names. But Father, that is the name that you adopted us into. That we get to call upon your name, that you are always present with us. Father, thank you that you are our protector, our guide, that you lead us, Father. That we choose today to say, yes, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I am yours, Lord. And so we honor you with all that is within us, Lord. Spirit, soul, body, every inch of us worships you and adores you, Lord. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that today we remember your goodness. Remember your faithfulness. That you are worthy, Father. So we lift up our voices. We lift up our song unto you. May you be magnified and glorified. We're so grateful, Lord. We pray this in your name, and everyone says, amen and amen. Let's praise him and worship him.
Into the wild, and don't be afraid. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, and everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. Oh, you never let me down. You're faithful through generations. So why would you fail now? You won't. You won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus. Oh, you never let me down. You're faithful in every season. So why would you fail? Is my firm foundation, oh, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaken. Oh, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in you, Jesus, 'cause you never let me down. You're faithful.
but you have left me on my own. Oh, I am not alone. I come out of agreement with the worry and the fear I've come to know. They won't ever hold on me.
You deserve the glory. Yes, dear Lord Jesus, we worship you this morning. We magnify you, we honor and we adore you. You are worthy of it all, Lord. You are worthy of it all. And therefore, we bless your name this morning. We magnify your name this morning. And we say you deserve all the glory. You deserve all the praise. You deserve all the magnification. And you deserve all the worship. And this morning, we glorify you and we magnify you. Because you are a good, good Father. And you love us so much. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, worship team. That was a powerful worship. Well, my name is Oswald. For those who do not know me, I'm privileged to be part of the team here. And this morning, I'm also privileged for sharing the offering scripture. And this morning, my offering scripture will be taken from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. And let's listen to what David is saying. David says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. It's a very interesting verse because if you look at the word honor there, David replaces giving with honor. So in a sense, what he's saying is that how we honor God is by giving to him. And so there are various ways that we can honor God in our lives, but one of the ways that we can honor God is when we give to him. And if you look at the word honor, it simply means to glorify, to esteem, to value, or to make heavy. And so when we give to God, we glorify him in our lives. You know, everything we have was given to us as a gift from God. And it's such a great privilege and an honor to give back to him. And when we do that, we honor him. And so if you would love to give to Nazna Vineyard, we would love to tell you the various ways of giving. You can find it in the bulletin. You can find it on the screen. And we have cash box as well behind the church that you can also put your offering in. And we'd love to thank all those who have been giving to the church and partnering with us. May God richly bless you for all your gift. Amen. And then afterwards, Pastor Yan will share the message for us. Enjoy the rest of the service.
For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.
Good morning, everybody. Wonderful to see all of you. My name is Yanu, as Oswald mentioned, and I have a privilege of sharing the word this morning, but I must say it's good to be home. I missed the last two Sundays and also Good Friday because I was also in Zambia, but it's wonderful to be back home. Also, just before I get into the word this morning, I want to say thank you to all of you. Prayed for us while we were in Zambia. We had a wonderful, wonderful trip. You know, as I watched that video, I felt like I was on a high again. But it's just amazing what God did in us and through us. We had so many divine appointments, and I believe so many lives will never be the same again because of a message of the gospel and the good news of Jesus and the fact that God loves to perform miracles in the lives of people. But thank you so much to all of you who prayed for us. We had a wonderful trip. I think it was shown on one of the slides, but I want to mention we ministered in three different local churches. We did street evangelism, prison ministry. We ministered at a refugee camp, a hospital, a school, an orphanage, and we went to a village to do ministry as well. So we couldn't take photos in the refugee camp, the hospital, or the orphanage. So we couldn't show you everything that we experienced, but it was just wonderful. And I want to encourage you, if you have a desire to go on a mission trip, there's an opportunity to go to Mozambique in October. You can go put your name down at the iDesk after the service if you'd like to. But it's really amazing. You know, you impact lives, but you get blessed in the process. And you also change on a mission trip. It's amazing what God does in your heart. But I just want to read some testimonies to you. So we were 10 people, 4 staff members. It was myself, Michael, Chloe, and Tani Steffi. And then we also had 6 non-staff members of our church who went on this trip. So in the first service, I read 3 of the people who aren't staff, who went on the trip, I read their testimonies, and I want to read the other 3 to you. I wanted to ask them to come and share their testimonies, but I spent 10 days with these people, and 7 of them are ladies, and I discovered they have a gift of talking. And And we also want to take communion at the end of the service today. And I want, you know, to have some time to preach to you as well. So I thought, let me be wise and rather just read testimonies to you. But Mart said, I stand in awe to see and have seen how God works to change people's lives. We realized on the trip that the words of Jesus in Matthew 25 became true for us. To have represented Nice Now Vineyard Church and to be God's hands and feet was an honor and a privilege. To God be the glory. And Martin said, some people said that a mission trip will change you forever. I can now agree and say that is true. We work as missionaries in South Africa, but a trip like this is on another level. God is faithful, Jesus is alive, and the fields are ripe for harvest. Come and join the mission. And Monique said, Zambia was both a time of delight in seeing God move in other people's lives and an opportunity for personal growth. I'm very glad I went. So we had a wonderful trip, and thank you again to all of you who prayed for us. But as I said, it's good to be back, and I'm going to share a message this morning that won't be part of a series. It will be a standalone message, and then next week, Pastor Steve will talk about vision, and then the following week, we'll have Matt Daisel here, which will be a wonderful blessing, and then we'll start with a new series again. But what I want to talk about this morning is discipleship, and I've titled my message for this morning, Being Disciples, because we are disciples of Jesus, and I don't really want to focus on how to make disciples this morning. I just want to talk about some characteristics of a disciple of Jesus. And when Matt comes, it's going to be a wonderful time to get equipped to make disciples. Because the calling to make disciples is not just for the pastors. It's really for every believer. But for us to be involved in discipleship, we need to know what it means to be a disciple, and we need to be disciples of Jesus. So why is discipleship so important? Well, you know, in the New Testament, the word Christian appears only 3 times. The word disciple appears more than 250 times. So whenever you study the Bible, a good principle to follow is major on the majors and minor on the minors. You know, some Christians love to major on the minors. You know, when the rapture is going to take place, and they fight over it. You know, let's minor on the minors and major on the majors. But when we study the Bible, we see that discipleship is a major. And Jesus always referred to his followers as disciples. And a disciple also means a follower. So it's a follower of Jesus. But we also see in the word that it is part of a great commission. You know, just before Jesus ascended to heaven, he said to his disciples, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them. So it's part of a great commission, the commandment he gave to the church. And I believe a local church exists for discipleship. The local church is the primary vehicle God uses in the world today through which discipleship can take place. So discipleship is important, but it's always important for us to remember we are disciples of Jesus, and we need to know what that means, because we are children of God and disciples of Jesus before we're anything else, and we always need to be mindful of that. Craig Moore said the following. He said, becoming a believer makes him yours. Becoming a disciple makes you his. Just a beautiful quote of what it means to be a disciple. We are believers, but we also need to follow Jesus. We need to be disciples. And this morning, I want to focus on 3 main characteristics of a disciple of Jesus. And this is not going to be an exhaustive list by any means. There are many characteristics we find in the Word. But I want us to look at 1 verse this morning, and then look at 3 characteristics we can find from that 1 verse. And the Bible verse I want us to use this morning is Matthew 4, verse 19. And this was where Jesus called Peter and Andrew, the 2 brothers, to become his disciples. And we see there that the Bible says, then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So based on that statement of Jesus, I believe we can define a disciple as a disciple of Jesus is someone who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. And this morning, I want us to focus on those 3 characteristics of a disciple of Jesus. And the first one is a disciple follows Jesus, and that is dedication. It's dedicating your life to him and choosing to follow him. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, follow me. But follow me is also an invitation to relationship. And we just see Jesus' heart and desire to experience intimacy with us. You know, God is so eager for us to know him and not just know about him. And we see here that Jesus said, follow me, and he invited us into relationship with him. He wants us to experience him in life and to know him in life. And that is our primary and first calling as believers. We read in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, God has unique callings for each one of us. He has a wonderful purpose for each of our lives. It's important for us to discover that purpose and to follow that. But it's also important to remember that is secondary. What is primary is knowing him, having fellowship with him, following him. And we see that it's not just a suggestion. It says we are called into the fellowship of Jesus, having a relationship with him. And if we don't abide in this calling, if we don't fulfill this calling in our lives, we will struggle to be effective in any other calling. This is the most important calling we have. It's to know him, to enjoy fellowship with him. In Mark 3, verse 14 to 15, the Bible says, then he appointed 12. So that's his disciples, the 12 disciples. And we are also his disciples today. Then it says, so that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. So we see that it's important to preach. It's important to share the gospel. It's important what God calls us to do in life. But what is the first thing he wanted them to experience? Knowing him. It says that he called them, he appointed them so that they could be with him. And through that, he will send them out to do what he called them to do in life. So it's so important for us to always remember this is our primary calling in life, to be with Jesus, to know him, and to choose to follow him. Jesus said we need to abide in him. We need to abide in the vine if we want to bear much fruit. He said without him, we can do nothing. So if we want to be fruitful in life, let's abide in him. Let's know him and let's have fellowship with him. But disciples believe in Jesus as Savior and follow him as Lord. So we need to believe in Jesus as our Savior, but we also need to follow him as our Lord. And Lord means he's the boss. So we need to do what he says and we need to follow him. And I love what it says in John 2:5. It says his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. And in context here, it was when Jesus performed his first miracle when he turned water into wine. But they ran out of wine at the wedding and they all started to worry about it. And the mother of Jesus said to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Don't do more, don't do less, but do what he tells you to do. And you know, sometimes in life, God will tell us things that he might not tell others to do. But we need to do what he tells us to do. As the servants did what Jesus told them to do, a miracle happened at that wedding. And he gave it to them in steps. As he gave them step one to fill the water pots with water, he started to perform the miracle. And as they acted on what Jesus gave them, they experienced the miracle. But sometimes in life, God gives us something to act on, and then we want step one right through to 100. Before we do anything. But that is not how God always works. He wants us to trust him. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will show you things to come, not everything. If he showed you everything, where would the need for faith and trust be? So God wants us to trust him, but when he gives you something or when he tells you to do something, do it. You know, I was so blessed on our mission trip. Many of the people initially said to me, Yano, I want to go to Zambia. I feel like God wants me to go, but I'm going to have to trust him for the provision. And we required a non-refundable deposit quite early on because we needed to book flight tickets and plan the trip. And many of them said, I have enough for the deposit, but I don't have enough of a whole trip, but I'm going to step out and pay that deposit. And only after they paid the deposit did they experience the provision that they needed for the trip. For many of us, we say, Lord, give me everything first and then I'll act. But that's not how faith works. We need to do what he tells us to do. Jesus said to the mother of Jesus said to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And when we do, we will experience wonderful miracles in life. But following Jesus as Lord also means we follow his word and we make his word final authority in our lives. In John 8, verse 31 to 32, it says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. So notice it's not Jews who didn't believe. It's Jews who actually believed him. But he says, if you abide in my word, if you live in my word, if you follow my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what will happen when we abide in the word, when we follow Jesus and his word? We'll experience freedom. You know, we could say one of the characteristics of a disciple is they walk in freedom, the freedom that God has for them. See, we say we need to follow Jesus as Lord, and that means he's boss. But I want to tell you, he's the best boss you will ever have in life. He will take good care of you because he loves you. But we need to choose to abide in his word. And as we do, we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. But it's so important for us as disciples to make God's word final authority in life. You know, we need to exalt the truth of God's word higher than our opinions, higher than our experiences, higher than our feelings, or even facts in life. We need to exalt the truth of his word higher than anything else. And it's so important for us to make God's word final authority in our lives. And the Bible says that is what will set us free. But whenever you read the Bible or whenever you hear a message that is in line with the word and your feelings or your beliefs are contrary to the Bible, let the Bible win. That is the truth. When you read something and your opinion is different or what you were taught in the past is different, guess what? The Bible wins. But sometimes people don't let what the word says get in the way of what they believe. And that is sometimes what keeps people in bondage. Because it's knowing the truth, embracing the truth of God's word as disciples that will produce freedom in our lives. And I want to encourage you today, whenever you read the Bible, believe what you read. Don't read what you believe. When you read the Bible, believe what you read in the word. Don't read what you already believe. See, sometimes we have our preconceived beliefs and ideas, and we read in the word, by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. We see Jesus healing all that were sick. But because we were taught differently in the past, we hold on to that. We need to believe what we read in the word. We need to follow the word of Jesus if we want to be disciples and if we want to experience the freedom that he has already made available to us. So important for us to exalt truth. In Luke 6, from verse 46 to 49, Jesus said, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Have you heard of oxymoron Christianity? It's when we say no, Lord. We say no, but we call him Lord. If we're going to call him Lord, we need to do what he says, and we need to follow him. But he goes on to say, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. Remember, we're talking about following Jesus. A disciple follows Jesus. Jesus said, follow me. So Jesus is saying here, someone who comes to him, listens to his word, and then follows it, is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. So, you know, an interesting thing we can see in this story that Jesus told is the storm came to both. Even the one who followed the word also experienced the storm. So that means following Jesus will not exempt us from storms in life. We will still face challenges, bad things will still happen. We live in a fallen world. We have an enemy that is against us. But the good news is when we follow him, when we live by his word and we abide in his word, we will always make it through a storm successfully. We will never collapse no matter what comes against us. Can you see why it's important to follow Jesus and to live according to his word and to do what he says and to be a doer of the word of God, not just a hearer. Is it important to hear the word? Absolutely. But we should also make sure we don't hear it only. We also do what it says. We follow what it says. But some people, I believe, don't follow Jesus and don't follow his word because they're afraid of where he might take them and what he might do to them when they get there. You know, some people are afraid of Jesus and they don't know his heart. But I want to remind you of Jesus' intention in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, where Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you more problems." You know, that's the view that some people have of Jesus. You know, when I'm going to follow him, I'm going to have more problems, more bondage, life is going to be tough. Again, things might happen, but Jesus is saying here, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." He has rest available for you. He went on to say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When you follow Jesus and you do what he's called you to do, you will find it easy and light. Will you find it challenging at times? Absolutely. Will you have to step out of your comfort zone at times? Absolutely. But you will also experience it being easy and light because of him helping you and because of him giving you the grace to do it. Jesus has good intentions for us. He wants to be good to us. We can trust him and we can do what he tells us to do. But if you're in Jesus and you follow Jesus, that means you will only be lost when he is lost. And here's the good news. He will never get lost. He will never be lost. So as long as you're following him, you will always be okay. Just follow him. Just choose to trust him. Just stay close to him. And sometimes he might give you something to do, and as you step out, you might wonder what's going to happen next and how he's going to come through for you. But rest assured, he is faithful. He will always be there. Just choose to follow him. And I also want to encourage some of you. Maybe some of you have experienced God leading you to do things in your life. Maybe he's even called you into things, but you chose to say no to that, and now you feel like it's too late. But the good news is, it's not too late for you. It's not too late for you to say yes to Jesus. It's not too late for you to choose to follow him. And then a lovely example, a wonderful example I always love to use is the example of Jonah. You know, God sent Jonah to go and preach in Nineveh, to preach to the people to repent, and Jonah chose a different route. And then we know the story, a big fish swallowed Jonah. But after Jonah repented and after he got set free from the big fish, you know what happened? God gave him the exact same assignment again. God gave him another chance. God will always give us another chance. It's never too late. But let's choose to follow him. Let's choose to live a yes, Lord life as disciples of Jesus. You know, before I met Jesus, before I said yes to him, one of the things that kept me back was I thought if I say yes to Jesus, I'm going to have to say goodbye to having fun and I'm going to experience a boring life. And that was a lie from the pit of hell. When I look back now, I realize how boring my life was without Jesus. And our true adventure is only found in following Jesus. So say yes to him if you want to experience the adventure of a lifetime, the greatest adventure that life has to offer. Choose to say yes to him. So a disciple follows Jesus, but a disciple is also being changed by Jesus, and that is transformation. After Jesus said, "Follow me," he said, "I will make you." And I love how Jesus didn't say, "Follow me, now you need to become in your own strength." He said, "Follow me and I will make you. I will help you. I will equip you." So a disciple is also being changed by Jesus. And it's always important to remember spirit, soul, and body. Because the moment we get born again, our spirits are completely changed. Our spirits become exactly like Jesus. The Bible says all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It says, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. So our justification is complete. We are perfect on the inside. So true Christianity is not trying to become who you're not. It's becoming who you already are. Because the true you is who you are in your born-again spirit. But God also wants that changed and that life that is now on the inside of you to flow out of you. Because it's not going to bless anyone if you look like Jesus in your spirit, but you treat people like animals. Or you look just like the world. See, God wants that change that happened on the inside of us to also flow through us. And our sanctification is a lifelong process where we become more and more like Jesus in our souls and in our actions. But when we follow Him and we have fellowship with Him, we will become more and more like Him. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." And here the Lord is just reminding us that we should not look like the world. If we want to impact the world and influence the world, we need to be different than the world. In Romans 8, verse 29, it says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." And here we see God's desire again for us to look like Jesus, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That is also one of our primary purposes as believers and disciples, to become more and more like Jesus. And in Acts 4, verse 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus." Isn't it amazing that they perceived they had been with Jesus? You know, in life, people might look at us too and think, "Yo, you know, that guy is not the sharpest knife in the drawer." But they will see something different in you and think, "They must be with Jesus. They must be following Jesus." Following Jesus will cause transformation in your life. And a disciple of Jesus is being changed by Jesus. Don't try to produce it in your own strength. Let Him do it as you follow Him. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it says, "He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it." Now, He has unique callings for us. He wants us to be in different vocations. God needs believers everywhere. He has unique purposes for all of our lives. But it says here, "He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it." What will He do? He will produce the change in you. He will produce the transformation in you. He will help you. He will equip you. He will guide you. And He will provide for you. You know, sometimes God tells us to do something or He leads us to do something and we tell Him that we don't have the funds to do it. And that is so kind of us, you know, to inform Almighty God that we don't have the funds to do what He told us to do because He didn't know that. Or He tells us to do something and we tell Him that we have a family and we have children and how is it going to work out? But we need to trust Him. He wants to give us rest. He is faithful. He will provide for you. Obeying Jesus and following Jesus is the best thing you can do for your family. It's the best thing you can do for your children. And everyone will be blessed when you follow Jesus. Will challenges come? Absolutely. But it will be the adventure of a lifetime. But allow Jesus to produce the transformation in you that you desire. The Bible says, "He who calls you is faithful. He will do it." Then the last characteristic I want us to look at this morning is a disciple is committed to the mission of Jesus, and that is participation. Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And we are all called to make fishers of men. You know, this is not just a calling for pastors or those called into the fivefold, but every believer can reach people for Jesus. And Jesus wants all of us to participate. We don't have to sit on the bench. Everyone gets to play in the kingdom of God. And we can all participate and choose to be committed to the mission of Jesus. You know, our greatest contribution in life, I believe, regardless of our profession, is touching people's lives with the truths of the gospel and the love of God. Let's participate. Let's commit to the mission of Jesus. In Ephesians 4:11-12, it says, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So why does Jesus put the fivefold? Why did He give the fivefold to the church? So that they can equip the saints, the believers, for the work of a ministry. What is the work of a ministry? Well, it's sharing the gospel, it's praying for people, it's counseling people, It's flowing in the gifts. It's all the things that Jesus tells us to do. But I believe we can define the work of a ministry as making disciples. So the Bible says that God has given the fivefold to the church to equip believers to make disciples. We all get to participate. We all get to see lives changed through the power of the gospel. And there's nothing more rewarding than that. And you know, the last few weeks, I wasn't here, but I know Pastor Steve preached great messages during Easter. And in a moment, we're going to take communion too. And it's always important for us to remember the finished work of the cross. And when we're going to take communion now, we're going to remember the finished work of the cross. But while the work of the cross is finished, we need to remember the church has unfinished business. There's the finished work of the cross and the unfinished work of the church. The unfinished work of the church is to tell the world of the finished work of the cross and to make disciples. And we all get to participate. And if you want to be committed to the mission of Jesus and you want to participate, you need to pray, you need to give, and you need to go. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers into his field. And I want to tell you, the harvest is ripe. We saw it in Zambia now. People are hungry for the gospel. The harvest is so ripe. And we need to pray the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers, more workers into the field. And then we also need to give. You know, if we want to reach people, it takes money. And then we also need to choose to go where Jesus tells us to go. And we need to be willing to go. But let's participate and let's commit to the mission of Jesus. Jesus became our Savior to get his life and message to us. But he must become our Lord to get his life and message through us. So discipleship involves dedication, transformation, and participation. And I want to encourage you today, choose to say yes to following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and commit to the mission of Jesus. Amen. Before we take communion, can I ask you just to close your eyes for a moment, please? And as you close your eyes, I just want to give you a minute, and I want to make room for the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. He loves us. He knows us. And maybe for some of you today, he's saying to you, follow me. And maybe some of you know Jesus, you're born again, you're a child of God, you're destined for heaven, but you haven't decided to follow him wholeheartedly, to trust him with all your heart. And today you can choose to do that. He loves you. He wants to give you rest. I'm just sensing some of you are feeling heavy and burdened. And Jesus is saying, come to me. I will give you rest. Anything that is not light and easy is not from Jesus. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Anything that's heavy, give it to him right now. Give it to him. And for some of you, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, let me produce the change in you. Maybe you're struggling with some things and your desire is to be free from it. You want to be kinder to people. You don't want to lose your temper. You want to be someone who forgives quickly, but you're struggling. Why don't you ask for the Holy Spirit's help? Why don't you allow him to produce the change in you? Thank you, Lord. And for others, the Lord might be saying, participate. The Holy Spirit is in you. Step out in faith. You can pray for people. You can heal the sick. You can see people set free. You can minister the love of God to people where you work, where you live. Allow him to do it through you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just before we take communion together, I just want to give people an opportunity to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. If you haven't decided to receive Him into your life, to receive His forgiveness, if you haven't decided to follow Him, you can choose to do it today. So if you'd like to do it, I'm just going to lead you into a prayer to receive Jesus. And if you'd like to do it, why don't you just raise your hand so that I can see, and I'm going to pray with you. Anyone here today? Thank you. Thank you. I see your hands. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I see your hands. Thank you so much. So I'm going to ask all of you, raise your hands, to pray after me. And I believe the Lord is saying to you, get ready for a great adventure. But just pray after me and say this, but mean it from your heart. And I'm just going to ask the rest of our church family to join them. And let's just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are. Thank you for the finished work of the cross. Thank you for paying for my sin. Today I choose to receive you as my Savior and to follow you as my Lord. I want to know you. I want to belong to you. And I want to be right with you. So I say yes to you today. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to be your disciples. Thank you, Lord, that we are children of God. But thank you, Lord, that you make it easy to say yes to you because you are so good, you're so faithful, Lord. And Holy Spirit, remind us of the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. Whenever you prompt us to do something, Lord, but we want to say yes to following you. We want to say yes to being changed by you. And we want to say yes to being committed to the mission that you have, Lord. Help us to finish the unfinished work of the church. In Jesus' name, amen. To all of you who raised your hands, who gave your lives to Jesus today, please will you go to the back there. There's a sign that says, what now? We just want to give you a booklet that will help you in your journey. And we celebrate with you today. And if you need prayer or ministry, please come to the front. There will be a ministry team here that would love to pray with you and for you. Thank you for coming today. Remember, you are highly favored and deeply loved. God bless you.